on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? It's our first episode of YoteCast for 2022. After a week off last week due to the holidays and however you chose to spend your time, I hope you enjoyed it and were able to spend it with people that are meaningful to you, friends, family, however that may go for you. Well, obviously, we've had some adjustments already to the South Dakota basketball schedules, and as the COVID numbers started to grow before the Christmas holiday, we kind of could see this coming from a mile away, that at some point games were going to be impacted locally, whether that's with USD or the Summit League or however it may be impacted. There's been so many games in the NCAA already either canceled or postponed. Now, the Summit League obviously made its announcement this week that instead of a no contest and canceling basketball games, the Summit League has decided that they are going to try to reschedule some basketball games. And the goal for the Summit League is to reschedule them in the order that they were canceled. What that hopefully helps is that we aren't having teams pick and choose who they're going to reschedule against and who they're not. And I think that's a fair way to approach it. So South Dakota's had two games postponed thus far, or canceled at the time. They were called canceled, but we'll call it a postponement now. And the Coyotes will play on Monday at the University of North Dakota, and then on January 31st against North Dakota State. And I really like this approach from the Summit League. It gives teams an opportunity to get back on the floor, continue to get those games, hit the minimum they need for an NCAA tournament berth, and all of that good stuff. So it keeps competitive balance has been thrown out there, some other things, but it keeps all that in check. And so hopefully we get all the games in, but obviously things continue to change, so we'll keep an eye on how this season develops. Coming up in the show today, we'll sit down with Hannah Shervin of women's basketball. Obviously, she's had a tremendous career since she transferred to the University of South Dakota. We'll have the chance to dive into basketball and off-of-the-floor stuff for her as well. Recently engaged, so congratulations to Hannah on her engagement. And I know she's really excited for all of that. We'll discuss that coming up here in the show. But we'll kick it off with David Herbster. And keep in mind, this conversation with David Herbster happened before the announcement of the Summit League about its reschedules for the basketball season. So some of this stuff that I asked David Herbster obviously has come out in the release, and you will know it, but we were diving into this stuff a little bit, and we're trying to get as much information as we could from David Herbster as he saw it at the time. And of course, that announcement, since our conversation, has come out from the Summit League that they will reschedule basketball games, targeting typically Mondays and Tuesdays to try to get these games back on schedule, if at all possible. David, it's been a couple of weeks since we've talked to you for the podcast here, and you know, obviously with the holidays and everything like that. So let's start there. I know there's a lot to get to, but let's start there. How'd the holidays treat you and your family?
Well, we survived, and I think maybe more importantly, they all survived. That was the big one. We were actually able to get away for a few days and went up and saw some of my wife's family, got to see my sister, and it was actually pretty short. Between my oldest daughter having to work, and we basically picked her up along the way and then got up there. My middle daughter was already up in the cities, hadn't come back from school yet, so we met her up there and then had to get back the day after Christmas, because then my youngest started back up basketball practice on Monday. So up on Thursday, back on Sunday was actually the right amount of time. On one perspective, it was a really, really short, quick trip, and sometimes that can also seem pretty long. So we got in and out, and that was good. What about you? How was yours?
You know, things were good. The same thing, a little quick trip. And I think, you know, I've talked to a few people. I think a lot of people have realized their time limits with family over the last couple of weeks, that, you know, maybe this amount of days is too many. This would have been just right. It's constant evaluation. You know what I mean?
It is, and you can't really say it when you're in the middle of it.
That's right.
Because you're going to offend somebody, right? You either offend the ones you're with because you're staying too long, or you offend the ones that you're going to go visit because you're staying too short. So it's just best to smile and wave.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We'll get into men's basketball in just a little bit, but South Dakota women's basketball team was able to play a couple of Summit League home games finally. You know, they've spent a lot of time on the road this year. It seems like they'll be home for a game, maybe two, and then they're on the road again. But nice to see them at home this past weekend playing North Dakota, North Dakota State, and boy, a team that has really learned a lot about defense, it seems like.
Well, they were, and you know, I think, you know, just watching them, you know, the first part of both of those games, you know, it's like the first round of a boxing match. You're just trying to feel each other out a little bit. Then the next thing you know, that second quarter, and there's a couple knockout blows, a couple body punches, and then they really kind of dug in. And I think what I saw with this team is defensively, when they really start to get on somebody, and that team kind of gets on the back of their heels a little bit, this team doesn't let up. And now that, you know, like both of them, I think, started thinking twice about a lot of things, and then we were a little freer and were able to convert, you know, turnovers into points on the other end and control the boards for the most part on both games. So they kind of had to click. And then when it starts to roll like that, I know Chloe Lamb just had a field day against North Dakota State, and those are fun games. You know, it's both for a fan to watch and as a player to be able to be in those shoes when the rim feels like it's 10 feet wide and there's nothing that you can't do, but you still have to have the confidence. And I think it's not so much the confidence to take those shots as it is to know when to step up and to understand the flow of the game and what your team needs. And then when you can knock them down and keep knocking them down, you know, you're really, in some cases, the other team, you're just – they're exhaling. You could see it in their shoulders as they started to drop. They're just like, are you serious? They won't stop. And then it's just that pressure just keeps coming and it snowballs.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, they have won 9 consecutive games and they're feeling really good about things as they prepare for South Dakota State. And I know their non-conference hasn't gone the way that South Dakota State is typically used to seeing their non-conference schedules as far as the win total. But rest assured, they'll be ready to go for South Dakota on Saturday.
Well, and I think all those games prepare you for games like this against South Dakota State. So you're in the Summit League, so you're going to have to play really, really well every single game to give yourself an opportunity to win. And certainly when you have a team like South Dakota State coming in here who's every bit as good as we are, it's going to be who can execute the best, who can take care of the ball and knock down some of those big shots. Don't get anybody into foul trouble, but just you got to play really hard defense. To me, what's going to be really interesting in this one is how is the game called. You know, that those first 5 minutes of a game really kind of on how the game is officiated or called, it kind of gives you an understanding of the tempo of the game and how you're going to have to play. So, you know, we're going to have to weather those first 5 minutes, kind of figure out how this game's going to be called, and then you can go from there.
And we'll see how things go on Saturday, but it should be a fun one and a great atmosphere for women's basketball. You know, for men's basketball, about a month ago, we started seeing really games impacted at the professional level with COVID concerns as this new variant started to surge. And then we started to see over the couple of weeks before Christmas, it really hit the NCAA. Unfortunately, USD was hit with it right after the Christmas holiday and had 2 games canceled, and North Dakota was dealing with it, so that game was off, and then USD dealing with it, so they didn't play at North Dakota State. And I know that men's team is battling to get healthy and back on the floor, but the reality is now we know it is here and has impacted the team. What did that week look like as you tried to evaluate whether or not USD would be able to play games last week?
Well, we tested everybody when they came back, and on that Sunday, and then that's when we started seeing some positive tests come up. So between Sunday and Monday and trying to get confirmation tests on all of those as well, we really knew pretty much by Tuesday what we were looking at. And so we had a Summit League Joint Council call that day, and so you start to, you know, kind of get an idea of where everybody's at. And at that point, you start to see teams. I think there were 4 teams right away, that were having some challenges, us being one of them and trying to get everything confirmed. So what I really see in all this is, you know, those early week, the early portion of every week is going to tell a lot. Mm-hmm. And so between kind of the Monday, Tuesday area, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday is when you're really going to know what kind of issues that you might be having. And we ended up in that scenario where we didn't, you know, between positive tests and injuries, we didn't even meet the threshold to have enough players to play. And so at that point, it's, you know, you have to take the emotion and the gamesmanship out of it. You can't roll a team out there with six players. That just doesn't work. And so I think what you're going to see, and you're going to see more this week from other teams around the league that are going to be in similar situations. It's been interesting because it seems like it's a daily occurrence now to understand or to see other conferences, and really not just in this part of the country, but both East Coast and West Coast and the Midwest, who are having games canceled. And so I think, in reality, that's something that we're going to continue to see. What does it look like? You know, right now, even with vaccinated players or boosted individuals, you're still seeing some of these things pop up. And so at this point, you can do everything that you can to protect yourself. And that's all we can do right now. But do, you know, from one week to the next, it's gonna vary. So, you know, as a Summit League, we are going to go back to rescheduling some of these games. We're going to have to, because you don't know at what point in time what games you can actually get in. And so you'll see games rescheduled. You might see rescheduled games not play. You'll see scheduled games not played. You'll see rescheduled game played. I mean, it's going to be all over the board. But, you know, it's going to be a weekly kind of conversation that we're going to have. And then as you look to reschedule, when, where, and how can you reschedule those games? And so I think right now we've landed on a good point as a league about how we're going to handle it. At this point, you know, and for most of the schools, they have not started class yet either. So you could see, you know, some more interesting things happen in the next few weeks as classes start to resume for everybody.
You know, when the Summit League made their announcement last week, right before these games started to fall off the table, they had said that the games would go down as a no contest and they would be canceled. But it sounds like potentially changing to try to get as many games in as possible.
Right, and you know, and that was where we fell first. But then really quickly, you see how many games were canceled and you realize, okay, you know, we had talked about it in one of those earlier calls. Everybody just kind of held their, you know, okay, let's wait and see. Well, that wait and see approach said, okay, now we have to do something. And so, you know, we switched it from forfeits to no contests, really because with most of this, pretty much all the schools in the league, virtually almost everybody's vaccinated. So it's not, it can't be a punishment for having COVID at this point when you're having vaccinated players test positive, right? But what we also need to do is realize we can't be in a situation where somebody could easily be out two to three weeks without playing games, and maybe that's not all their fault. Maybe that's the teams that they were supposed to play. So now you're sitting at home with nothing to do and not getting any games in when you potentially can play. So it really, we've got to try to do what we can to get as many games in, because we need to have, you need to have 25 games in, and you know, including the conference tournament, to qualify as the AQ for the NCAA tournament. So if you look at all the schedules and you look at everybody's records, we know that we have to get in 24 games, knowing the conference tournament is game 25, to be able to be eligible for that AQ for the NCAA tournament. So we have to do everything we can to try to get as many games in. And, we're only in the second week let's count before Christmas out of here, but we're only 2 weeks into this, and you've had as many games that we've had canceled, which causes a ton of concern, realized. And I think we all realize, okay, at some point in time, it's going to affect us. We just need to protect the league as much as we can to ensure that we can have as many games played as possible.
So what do you think, and I know that we're going to use this word that we hated for an entire year plus, this is a fluid situation, but what do you think that looks like if USD perhaps has an opponent that has to pull out of a game down the road? Maybe they look to go play at North Dakota State if they're open, since the two didn't play in Fargo. Mm-hmm. Or is this a situation where potentially we see games pop up on Monday or Tuesday and it really alters the week?
You're probably going to see a little bit of both. I think right now when we look at it, if we're trying to reschedule games, the way the schedule is laid out, we're playing Thursdays and Saturdays. So the only real opportunity to reschedule a game is going to be on Monday or Tuesday, okay? And maybe we do that, but maybe we get to the point on Wednesday and our Thursday series gets canceled, someone else's Thursday series gets canceled. It's only a bus trip between us.
Sure.
Well, there's nothing to say that you can't, you know, make up one of those games. Maybe you don't need to make up that game, but maybe you can at least get in a game. Then go ahead and try to reschedule that game. But so that's right. It's going to be kind of a moving board of, you know, it's almost a shell game of moving parts on what can you fill in and when? And sometimes you might not know right away. Now, if something pops up at the last minute, let's say we can go play Omaha, whoever it is, right? Well, there might be a scenario where where is it at our place? Is it at their place? Can you even get transportation at that time? Because the other thing that we found through all of this is, you know, bus transportation is not a given anymore because a lot of the bus companies are struggling to find drivers, trying to find airline tickets right now on short notice to get us, you know, if you need 20 to 25 airline tickets, that could be a pretty tall order to try to find, to even travel somewhere. So logistically, there's going to be challenge with this, you know, air or ground transportation. But seriously, you could we could see a scenario where it's Wednesday and all of a sudden a Saturday game pops up where instead of playing somebody at home, you're playing somebody else at home or vice versa.
Coaches are going to want as much time to prepare for an opponent as they can possibly get. In your mind, what is the time frame that a game could be rescheduled last minute and you could appropriately feel like you can get a team wherever they need to go if transportation's available and they can safely and effectively play that game?
Boy, that could be a little different campus to campus and coach to coach, right?
Sure.
But really, logistically, to be able to put everything together, you need a couple days. Mm-hmm. You know, and right now we're just in the first half of the season. You know, once you get into the second half of the season, for the most part, hopefully you've played almost everybody. So, and now it's just making some modifications to probably what you do or take a look at what the previous game, how that game was played. Is there any, you know, adjustments to a game plan that you need to make? But, you know, realizing that even when we do some of the short turnarounds when you're playing Thursday, Saturday, you really have one day to prepare for your opponent on Saturday. But I don't think you could be in a scenario where all of a sudden you learn that on Wednesday you're going to play someone on Thursday. Logistically, I just don't think that happens. But that's not to say that you couldn't play on a Friday if both teams have it open and you don't have games on Thursday or Saturday or whatever. So I think you're going to see a little bit of everything, John.
Yeah.
And or maybe nothing much different, other than just you're going to play on a rescheduled games on a Monday or Tuesday and everything else on a Thursday or Saturday. I just don't want to have any one team have to sit out multiple games or multiple weekends, especially if it's not their, you know, if it's not their issue. That's a that's tough on those teams.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see how it all unfolds. How about, you know, USD's had some players test positive, as we discussed, and last year, once a player, a student athlete, or a coach tested positive, they were out of the testing protocols for 90 days unless they were symptomatic. Is that all still in place, or what do we know about the process now after a team has battled this COVID virus?
Sure, you know, and we're waiting for some more guidance from the NCAA on that because what we do know is last week the CDC changed their kind of the how long you had to be in isolation. You know, it used to be 10 days. If you had tested positive, it's 10 days in isolation. Now they've said, well, you have to have 5 days in isolation. If you're showing, if you have no symptoms after 5 days, you can come out on day six, but you have to wear a mask in any group setting from day six to day 10. Okay, but now we need to know how that translates to athletics, you know, because that's getting people back to the work, that's getting people back on the job, right, if they can. But there was no real, we're waiting for that clear, definitive interpretation from the NCAA on what is it that we're going to be under. You know, if you know, you'll have some that, you know, day six through 10, if you're showing no symptoms, we'll have to wear a mask everywhere except practice and competition. Some will say we have to wear masks during practice and competition. Some will say it doesn't matter, you still have to be in isolation for 10 days. So that part's all over the board. And you're going to have states or local health departments that would interpret things differently. But from an athletic perspective, we need that guidance so we're all on the same playing field.
When you look at the COVID situation and obviously the rising cases, and I don't know how much of this is controlled at, you know, your level with USD Athletics or Board of Regents and that kind of thing and with the state, but have there been any adjustments internally to some of the protocols or some of the way the teams gather or don't gather and some of that in an effort to try to avoid future cancellations and postponements?
We're working through all of that right now. I think you're going to see a scenario where we're going to limit as many group settings as possible. And, you know, it's hard to have a group setting when you're in a practice gym. You know, that's, you know, and then understand what defines a group. How long is the contact occur, right? What we did realize last year when we went through this process, when we had to do the contact tracing, remember it was within 6 feet of somebody for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Even when we went through practices and games and we would actually have to do contact tracing in those scenarios, and how long was this particular individual around other individuals, we never got to a point where it ever reached 15 minutes. So I don't. It's a little bit of an unknown. I think as we go along, we'll, I don't want to say we figure it out as we go along, because you're looking for the guidance through all of this. But I think reducing the amount of group setting situations that we that you can, even right now when we travel, we still have people in a mask. Certainly you have to wear a mask when you're in the airport, even on bus situations we do. And I think what we found out now is, with the new variant, at least what we're dealing with right now, even the vaccinated individuals can still contract it. So how do you truly, limit that as much as possible? So, for right now, we will, mask whenever we can, limit the group settings as much as we can, and then you monitor it on a daily basis.
And I know fans will be interested, obviously, from what they dealt with a year ago, and some fans aren't going to feel comfortable in a group setting, and we totally understand that. But what about the situation with fans, and is there any thought about going back to what we were last year, or what level has to adjust things to change how the fans attend games?
That's a really good question, and something that we've been asking ourselves right now. And it's a little bit of a wait and see approach. Certainly, I think both on campus and in the county, we're not at a point where we're going to go down that road yet. But we also realize it's like I said, it's a daily conversation. And so as we go both day to day and week to week, you kind of evaluate not only where we're at both locally here in Vermilion, but also regionally where we're at. And there hasn't really been too many places right now that have taken that step to do anything about fans. Now, that said, there's certainly some states that are, or even schools that have said that the only way to gain entrance into the facility to watch a game is to either show proof of vaccination or proof of a negative test within the past 72 hours. I don't see us going through that route here. But after that, we'll have a big test this weekend to see what things look like, because we got the state game this weekend, right? And so there's going to be quite a few people in the facility. I've already noticed, even through our current games that we've played so far, you still have a percentage that are going to wear a mask when they come to a game, and that's great. Mandating that, we know, is a challenge. Mm-hmm. But I think the one thing that I saw last year is that even though there's a lot of folks that, regardless of their political affiliation or what their beliefs were, they knew the only way to come in and watch a game was to wear a mask. And they're like, I can do it for a short amount of time. And that was what it was going to take for us to be able to play. So we wait and see what the landscape looks like and make the decisions with the best information we have at the time.
Yeah, well, we'll continue to monitor it. It's all we can do, and keep an eye. I know things change almost on the daily with this thing, so I know the USD is doing the best it can with trying to mitigate as best possible and have the best situations in place. So, David, great stuff. Thanks so much for the time. Great to chat with you.
Yep.
I'm sorry the whole thing was on COVID, but it's kind of the world we're in right now, but I really appreciate the insight.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you, man.
He's David Herbster, the athletic director at the University of South Dakota. And hopefully you have a little bit more of an understanding of the situation when it involves the Summit League rescheduling games and COVID-impacted games and all of that. So this is going to continue to trend here over the next few weeks, at least. I feel like we can be certain on that. And even though teams have had maybe some positives or whatever, it may be an opponent that is dealing with it. So we'll just have to all stay on our guard, I guess, about how these schedules may continue to change. And so be ready for rapidly changing schedules. I think they'll try to give teams the best opportunity they can to prepare and to travel and some of that. But I do think it's important that we all prepare for some quick changing games, and hopefully we can get a whole bunch of games in here over the next two months or so, a little under two months or so. This week on the podcast, I had a chance to catch up with Hannah Shervin. Of course, plays women's basketball and has been a staple for South Dakota. Has really been a force for women's basketball program the last several years under Don Plitzelwad after she transferred to USD from the University of New Mexico. But we had the opportunity this week to sit down and talk basketball and life in general.
Hannah, you're continuing through another basketball season and the final run for you, and some of the girls that you've been playing with. Have you soaked in this season and just getting this opportunity to play basketball one more year?
I think this year has been my best year of understanding the precious present. I watched that class in 2020 graduate and leave and not really get get a chance to have closure on a season. And I think watching those girls and being so close with them has helped me soak it in these past 2 years.
You've really, fit in at the University of South Dakota and obviously have become a staple of the women's basketball program. And you think back to coming out of high school and going to New Mexico and then how you ended up at USD. Do you ever think about that? And I'm sure it was very uncertain, a lot of uncertainness at the time. But now thinking back, and maybe it turned out to be a pretty good fit for you.
Definitely. I mean, at the time, leaving New Mexico, it didn't feel like a blessing, you know, sitting out a year transferring. But it gave me the ability to stay another year and get better. And then now with COVID and another year on top of that. So 6 years of college and playing with a lot of good girls and at a university that I love. So definitely a blessing.
Hannah, when you talk about that year that you had to sit out, what was your focus during that time period to make sure that, you know, basketball-wise you were getting better and taking care of everything you needed to?
Yeah, I had a coach tell me, I think it was Kayla Tetzlog, and she now is coaching at Drake, but she said, you need to treat practice like a game day every day because you're not going to play. And I think that mentality of just competing with the girls on my own team so that I was ready to go and contribute when I was ready to play really helped me.
You know, that first year that you were here and you had to sit out that year, that was the year that the team played down in Cancun. And obviously you couldn't be traveling with the team as a transfer, but you and your dad made that trip. How important was that to you to just be on that trip, even though you were there as a, let's call it a fan, right? You weren't part of the team, but as a fan, how important was that for you as you continued to try to build the chemistry with this team?
I thought it was, like, very important. I mean, they played, I remember them playing Tennessee down there, and that was a big game. They were ranked and just a bigger school, and to see the way that our team's culture has adapted since playing Tennessee over the years, playing Power Fives and then bonding with the girls down there too. I think there was a lot of crucial things to me going on that trip.
You know, you talked about 6 years of college and all this basketball that you've played. What's been the biggest growth of Hannah Shervin's basketball game?
Oh, that's a tough question. I think my understanding of the game has grown a lot. Just seeing it from different roles where, sitting on the bench as a redshirt and then, you know, earning minutes and coming up and now being a bigger role player on the court. I think just my perspective and my basketball IQ playing under Don has grown a lot.
When you look at, the team that you're playing with, and obviously with some of these players you've been with for a long time, they came in different than you, that kind of as a recruiting class, but you're part of that class now. What do they mean to you and just the growth in not only basketball players, but just relationships off of the floor?
Yeah, I think for Liv, Chloe, and I specifically, there's just this level of understanding, whether it be on the court or in the locker room or just hanging out, that's hard to explain. I was thinking about it the other day, and that's the longest I've ever played with teammates consistently, so 5 years with them both. And it's special. I mean, I don't really know how to explain it yet, and I'm sure I won't until we're done. But I'm very grateful for it.
You know, we talked about you weren't recruited or you didn't come here out of high school, but you came into the program and under Don Plitzelwhite and her staff, which has seen a little bit of changes. But for the most part, her staff has kind of been intact here. What has made Don's program so successful that you've seen over the last several years?
I think she does a really good job of finding individuals' desires to win and finding how to bring that out of them. And I've never seen a team where everyone understands their role and is passionate about their role so consistently as it is here.
You know, when you look around at games, and it doesn't matter if they're home or away, your parents are almost always there. They're great supporters of you. And I know people, they may not know your parents, but they recognize them, I guarantee it. And, you know, your mom's always getting her laps in before games and things like that. But what has it meant to you to be able to, when you made that decision to leave New Mexico, to end up at a place where it was a little bit easier for them to get to games and see you play the way they have?
I think it was huge. In high school, I grew up with all of my family right around Rogers, and so they were always at games. And going down to New Mexico, I didn't know anyone at the games, and I just felt kind of alone, whereas here, I almost always feel like there's someone there for me, whether it's my parents or, you know, Maddie Kroll's parents even now. So I just think the community here is a lot stronger.
You know, as you talk about that community, you've been to a lot of basketball games, and there are some places that there's not a lot of fan support in the stands, and USD's different. Even through the COVID year, people showed up and continue to show up, and you've seen some very big crowds, and you've seen some loud environments here in this building. What has that growth of the fan support meant to you? What have you noticed out of it, and what do you guys feel when you're on the floor?
It's a game changer. I don't know how to explain the feeling when, you know, there's a change of play, or, you know, you make a big basket or a big stop on defense and you just hear the crowd behind you. It's very motivating. And then something else I've noticed is, you know, as USD's had this history of having fans, we go to other schools and it's like they try to make the game that we're at their school, you know, just as big. So we went down to KC and I thought they had the most fans we've seen them have, and that's exciting for women's basketball to be building a bigger fan base, not just here in Vermilion, but across the Summit League.
And even in the state of South Dakota, whether it's, you know, like this weekend's game, South Dakota State, whether it's in Vermilion or Brookings, there's always a great deal of fan support. It's not that way everywhere. The women's basketball in South Dakota gets tremendous support. What have you seen out of that?
I don't know. I don't fully understand it, but I love it. It makes me grateful that I made the choice to come to USD, and it's not something I'll fully understand probably once again until I leave, but hopefully that continues to spread beyond just the Summit League and South Dakota, and continues to grow.
You've had a chance to be a part of Summit League championship teams, regular season tournament titles, NCAA opportunities. I know down the road at some point you'll look back and really appreciate it, but you can appreciate a sense of it right now with everything that has been accomplished and still more to come. What does this mean to you, the career that you've been able to see and elevate this program the way that you've been a part of?
It often we think back to, you know, that era of Mandy Copel and the teams she was on, and just the difference they made for the university and the transition from D2 to D1. And I think that our era, if you want to call it that, you know, Chloe, Liv, and I, and everyone else, I hope that we can continue to elevate it so that it's a normal thing for us to be winning the Summit League and going to the tournament rather than a rare opportunity.
You know, we always talk about a lot of things going on the basketball floor, but there's life away from basketball. I know you're a dog lover and some of that. What do you do when you're not playing basketball?
Yeah, I love to hang out with my two dogs, and I just got engaged, so I'm very excited about that. And honestly, just hang out with my family and friends and my dogs.
Can you describe the engagement? It's always a very special moment. I know it was for you.
Yeah, I was very surprised. I didn't see it coming until maybe after season, but he got all of our family and friends there, which was nice. I had no idea they were there until I realized he was down on one knee and asking me to marry him. And I was speechless then and almost speechless about it now. It was just so exciting and fun. And when you know, you know. Mm-hmm. And he's definitely my person.
Well, that's awesome, and obviously a great life ahead after school and after basketball. Outside of basketball and some of that, what do you hope to do when your time is up at USD?
I want to work in the psychology field, and specifically sports psychology. So I'll have to go out and get some experience and then work back towards a doctorate so that I can work as a true sports psychologist.
What was your motivation, or what led to the interest of sports psychology?
I think just the things that I've experienced in, you know, in transferring, in changing my game, and playing with other girls and seeing the things that we go through as athletes that maybe we're not always comfortable talking about with the coaches or with each other. And I think people struggle silently a lot, which I want to help change that.
How about the COVID year? Did that motivate you a little bit more, or just cement the idea that you wanted to get into this? Because I know the COVID year, you know, people wanted to see the athletes playing, and the athletes did a lot during the COVID year, but it was really, really hard for coaches and players alike.
Yeah, I mean, you're asking people to stay in isolation for, I don't know, a year or two that we have now, and I think there's just effects that that takes on your mental health. And while it's great for your physical health and avoiding COVID and other illnesses, it's very hard on someone's mentality.
How hard was it? I know things have been a little bit different, really all your years, it feels like, here before COVID, and then during COVID, obviously things changed, and you didn't have the team dinners the way that you had before. The bus trips were a lot different. How challenging were road trips?
It's much different. We used to, you know, get on the bus and all sit close-knit and talk about whatever's been going on all week, and now we're very spaced out with masks, and the same way with our hotel rooms. So it's definitely a different experience, but I think we've gotten creative in our ways to bond, whether that be through group texts or group Snapchats. They've found ways to keep it fun.
When you look back at this time of your life, you know, years down the road, what do you think will stand out the most?
I think probably the relationships. Beyond the success, definitely the relationships that I've formed playing and playing with and playing under. Even the coaches here are very special to me.
What does it mean to you to be a part of this group that has really changed women's basketball at USD, or has continued to build it and taken it to another level, place that fans had hoped maybe one day it could go? And there's still more I know that you want to accomplish, but this program, the expectations are far different now than when you arrived here. What does that mean to you?
It's definitely a good feeling. I hope it's something that continues, and I can see it in the recruiting classes they've brought in. The girls have the same mentality as we do. They want to win and they want to be good, and they're not satisfied with, you know, just winning a few games. They want to win it all, which is good to see.
At some point down the road, one of the teams that you're on is going to be recognized for the accomplishments that you guys have. It's just going to happen with the success that you guys have had. When fans think back to this group and to Hannah Shervin playing, what do you hope that they remember or they think about when they think of this time period for women's basketball?
I don't know if they're even able to see it, but I hope they remember the work ethic that went into it. I was not a high-level player when I came into college, and everything that I worked for here, it wasn't easy, and so I hope that people can see that.
Well, we look forward to seeing the rest of your career, Hannah. Thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it. Good luck the rest of the year and of course, after USD as well.
Thank you so much.
That's Hannah Shervin, of course, a senior women's basketball player from Rogers, Minnesota. The transfer from New Mexico saw the time in 13 games as a true freshman at New Mexico, then sat out the 2017-18 season as she transferred to USD. And boy, it's funny. It's a little bit funny hearing Hannah talk about how she wasn't as good coming out of high school, because at USD, she has been phenomenal. Look at all the awards that Hannah Shervin has been recognized with, honored with, from sixth woman of the year, transfer of the year in her first year, Summit League honorable mention. She was in the all newcomer team. She was in the all tournament team. Then she's been a 2-time defensive player of the year. She's won the Summit League tournament MVP. She's been all Summit League first team. She's been on the tournament team, I think, every year that she's been at USD. She was a finalist for the Becky Hammon Mid-Major Player of the Year Award. She was voted on as the Female Athlete of the Year, Caitlin Tobin Female Athlete of the Year at the Charlie, something that USD does, and obviously has helped this team just in general continue to elevate the program. Going to the NCAA tournaments and just having success in Summit League tournaments and throughout the course of the seasons. I mean, she's been a huge part of it. Obviously, a lot of people have, but certainly a lot of recognition to Hannah Shervin. And right now, she's in the middle of another fantastic year that she had. I mean, earlier this season, she took an elbow to the face that it got stitched up and came back in, right? Had stitches in her lips, came back into the game. So a very tough kid at that, and she's having a phenomenal year, averaging 14 points and 7 rebounds. So we'll continue to watch Hannah and the women's basketball team and their success, but it certainly has been a pleasure. I know a lot of fans share that sentiment. An absolute pleasure to watch Hannah Shervin play basketball at the University of South Dakota. All right, before we wrap things up, Let's take a look at what is going on in Coyote Athletics. Of course, it's the South Dakota Showdown Series this week, the women's basketball game in Vermilion at 1 o'clock against South Dakota State, and then the men's game in Brookings at 6 o'clock for the men's contest. Both of those games can be heard on the Coyote Sports Network with a pregame show beginning a half hour before tip-off, and of course, they are on Midco Sports as well. The women's game on Midco Sports, the men's game on Midco Sports too, so however you choose to consume the basketball games, we certainly look forward to sharing that experience with you. And then, of course, Monday, the men's basketball game will be at North Dakota. It's a 7 o'clock start time. Our coverage on the Coyote Sports Network at 6:30. That game is also on Midco Sports as well. And then looking ahead to next Thursday, the women's basketball team will be at Denver. The men's basketball team will host Denver. The men, of course, at 7 o'clock. The women at 8 o'clock Central Time because they're in the Mountain Time Zone. And as always, you can hear those games on the Coyote Sports Network as well. And that men's game against Denver will be televised on Midco Sports as well. So check it all out. That's what's coming up in Coyote Athletics. Kind of slow right now, but enjoy the slowness of Coyote Athletics if you want, because before you know it, track and field, swimming and diving, softball, tennis, it's all going to be in action here over the next couple of weeks. So a little bit slower right now, but we'll pick it up here very, very soon. As always, if you have a story or an athlete or an administrator you want to hear more about, I would love to hear from you. Email yokecast@usd.edu. Reach out to me directly on social media, however you choose to reach out. We'd be glad to hear from you. And get your tickets at goyotes.com or call 605-677-5959 for all the Coyote home events coming up here over the next several weeks. Get your tickets. Be a part of this. It's been a tremendous last few years in South Dakota athletics, and it just continues. So get your tickets at goyotes.com. That's it for me. I'm John Thayer. Have yourself a tremendous weekend, and we'll do it again next week. Until next time, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.